بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 8th of October in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah last night I mentioned the amazing report which is recorded by Hafiz Abdullah ibn As'ad Yafi rahmatullah alayh in his Rawd al-Riyahin in which Allah the Almighty and Glorious highlighted to his beloved servant Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam to one of the amazing treasures, i.e. one of the pearls that was taken out of the bottom of the ocean in which there was a man and he'd been there for over 2,000 years being granted sustenance, health and happiness. And this was due to the du'as of both his parents who were disabled. He looked after them for 70 years. And then I mentioned two lessons which we extracted from that blessed report. The first is the power of the jinn, in which they dive into the oceans, but even with their power they could not retrieve the pearl. And then I mentioned the great servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Asif ibn Barkhiya radiyallahu, who by the great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retrieved the pearl from under the ocean. And specifically, our beloved messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Qurtubi in his tafsir, the greatest name through which Asif ibn Barkhiya radiyallahu supplicated was Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, or the ever-living, or the self-subsisting. And then I mentioned some of the virtues of these glorious names. Also, there's another report in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Sayyidina Asif radiyallahu anhu said, Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, O the owner of majesty and honor. So is there a contradiction? So directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Asif ibn Barkhiya radiyallahu anhu, he used the great names Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum to retrieve the pearl. Mujahid said he used the other two attributes, divine attributes, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram. And the response is, maybe he used both. But let's look at this second two great names, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram. What do we know about these names? In Nasa'i, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Hakim, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, persist in invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Dhil Jalali wal Ikram. Persist in invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Dhil Jalali wal Ikram, O the owner of majesty and honor. And the verse he was referring to is in Surah Ar-Rahman, Surah 55, verse 78. So this is a command. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, regular use these great names when you're making a dua. Dhil Jalali wal Ikram. In another report it mentions, in Kanzul Umal, number 5960, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 725, Sayyidina Mu'ad radiyallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, across a third man. And the third man uttered, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram, O the owner of majesty and honor. The Holy Prophet thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to him, make a request. Aye, for it shall now be fulfilled. Subhanallah. So this is the relevant part of the report. There was two other men he came across. It's not relevant. But the third man he came across, before he made dua, he goes, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram. And how did the Prophet respond, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Make dua. Make a request, it shall now be fulfilled. So previous report, persist with these names. In the second report, make a dua now. So what's interesting, we say these names, and we don't even realize when we say it. I'm going to tell you a time you say it, and you're going to get shocked. We say after the Farid prayer. In Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, our beloved messenger will say after the taslim of the Farid Salat, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabaraka, याद अल जलाल व अल इकराम, बोले बाली मुसलमान, राइट? एंड पीपल विल से व्हाट इज द प्रॉफिट, बिकॉज़ ही इज यूजिंग दोस नेम्स आफ्टर एवरी फर्द प्रेयर, अल्लाहुम्मा अंतस सलाम, ओ अल्लाह सुभान व तआला, यू आर द सोर्स ऑफ पीस, व मिनकस सलाम, फ्रॉम यू कम्स पीस, तबारक याद अल जलाल व अल इकराम, ओ द ओनर ऑफ मैजेस्टी एंड ग्लोरी. Why did the Prophet say that after every fard prayer? Right? He's using those names. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also certainly worth mentioning that these two great names are mentioned twice in the same surah. In Surah Ar-Rahman, Surah 55, verse 27 and 78. Twice. Think about that. Surah Ar-Rahman is called the Urus. In Bayhaqi, in the Shu'ab al-Iman, number 2494, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, 7-690, Fath al-Qadir, 5-130, Hassan Mishkat, number 2180, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for everything there is an urusan, for everything there is an adornment, and the urus of the Qur'an is Ar-Rahman. And the adornment of the Quran is Surah Ar-Rahman. Oh, beautiful. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Everything, there's something to beautify. So if you got something, there will be something to beautify. The beautification of the Quran, even though it's the perfect words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Surah Ar-Rahman. So a person goes, why that surah? We don't need to know. But you can point out humbly, because these two names are mentioned twice. Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. Surah 55, verse 27, Surah 55, verse 78. Why is it mentioned twice? It's Urus, it's the beauty of the Quran. So to reconcile the reports, maybe Sayyidina Asif ibn Barkhiya radiyallahu uttered all four of these divine attributes to receive the help of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no contradiction. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram. So now, look at the names he was using. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needed help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the divine names are appropriate for every condition that you can find yourself in. So Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum we discussed yesterday. So Ya Hayy means the ever-living. Ya Qayyum means the self-sustaining. Now why did he use those names? Because that man should be dead. Who's sustaining him? Ya Al-Qayyum. The one who's sustaining himself, he's sustaining that man for 2,000 years. Ya Al-Jalali Wal-Ikram. Oh, the owner of majesty and honor. Why use these names? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, maybe to do with that we need the help. And you are the majesty. When you are in trouble, if you've got contact with His Majesty, can't He get you out of trouble? Ya Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram, Your Honor. You know, we even said that to the judge. Your Honor. Ikram is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Dhul Jalali, oh, the owner of majesty and honor. You're humbly asking Him. So these four great names should be used if you want something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Holy Prophet taught us to do it in sujood. Just remain in sujood and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Persist. Look what the Prophet said, don't give up. Keep asking, Allah eventually will answer your dua. The third lesson we can take from the beautiful report yesterday. The incredible service the young man gave to both his disabled parents for 70 long years. Usually, how long do you serve your parents? Only when they get to the end of their lives and they need help. So you're talking about 20 years, you know, maybe even less than that. Up before that, they can look after themselves. This man, 70 years. Allah Ta'ala gave him that further honor. Fourthly, the fourth lesson. The four du'as of the parents being answered with regards to their son. What did they ask for? Give him a long life. He's still alive possibly. Imagine if your father makes a du'a or your mother. You could live over 2,000 years. Secondly, make him righteous. Shaitan can't get to him. Thirdly, give him health. He's eating the food of paradise. And let him live in a place where shaitan can't interfere. All of those were answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fifth lesson. Though the son now lived another 2,000 years, he apparently had not aged in the least. And this also shows that if Allah Ta'ala wants, He can stop the aging process very easily. People always ask, how is Christ still young in the heavens? Well, forget about the Holy Prophet Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. You got a non-prophet under the ocean. He's not aging. Sixthly, he apparently was receiving rizq from paradise, which prevented him from very interesting things. It prevented him from laziness, drowsiness, sleep, because that's the food of paradise. There's no sleep in paradise. You don't get tired in paradise. People are, you know, they ask these questions, why can't I sleep? Because you don't get tired. Why would you want to go to sleep if you're not tired? One of the scholars said, sleep only is a blessing if you're tired. You know, if you're not tired, somebody goes, imagine you have a cracking 10, 50, 12 hours sleep like some people do, and say, go back to sleep. Right? What's he going to say to you? He's going to say, what are you talking about? It'll be like a bore. He goes, I can't go to sleep. No, no, go back. You'll enjoy it. That's why we don't need sleep in paradise. Why? Because you don't get tired. And how interesting. Maybe the rizq is sustaining, causing that for you not to get tired. Seventhly, his abode was like paradise. Why? No heat, no cold, not even a drop of water entering into it. Allah Ta'ala made paradise for him under the ocean. Number eight, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam encouraging one and all to serve one's parents, to acquire their truly priceless and precious du'as. That was the whole point. He goes, serve them, because when they make du'a, Allah Ta'ala moves heavens and earth. So now, this is an amazing report. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll mention it very briefly. The hadith is in Bayhaqi al-Bidayah, Sahih Hadith. An old woman and a youngster came to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what happened? The youngster died. So the mother thought, I've come all this way. And then Anas came, he goes, dear aunt, you know, Allah Ta'ala has taken back what he gave to you. Your son's passed away. So the old woman goes, where is he? Show me where my son is. So they took the old woman to her son. She removed the covering from his face and she made dua. She goes, oh my Lord, I only came to be with your Prophet despite my old age. And now you've taken my son. He goes, you can't charge a soul with more than it can bear. Bring him back to life. What happened? He came back to life. And he outlived everybody, Anas said, except me. Because I'm still alive, he was 103. Mother's dua can bring son back to life. It wasn't a prophet's dua, it was a mother's dua. Sahih Hadith Ibn Taymiyyah said, with regards to the Saint Juraij, you know, George, they call him George, Juraij, our beloved messenger said something very interesting. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Sahih Muslim, number 6508, if his mother had supplicated that Juraij be involved in fitna, he would, despite his rank, have fallen prey to it. Sahih Muslim, number 6508. So let's look at this. So who's Juraij? His CV, this is his CV. He's definitely a saint. A child who was suckling talked to defend him. Imagine, just a child just being born, maybe a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, talked to defend him. He was a saint. But what happened was, he was playing in his small little hut and he latched, put the latch on the door. His mother came. She couldn't open the door. So he goes, Juraij, opened the door. So he's offering salat. He's thinking, salat, my mother. He goes, I'll carry on praying my salat. So her mother leaves. Next day she comes again. Latches on again. He's praying again. So he goes, mother, door, mother. He goes, salat. And he goes, I'll continue praying my salat. Mother leaves. Third day she comes again. And then she goes, if you're in there, Juraij, and you're not opening this door, may you not die until you see the face of prostitutes. And then what happened? Exactly that what happened. I don't want to go through the whole report. But what did the Prophet say? Look what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If she had made this dua, oh my Lord, involved Juraij in fitna, he would have got involved in it. Allah Ta'ala, despite how close he was. Imagine. This is how Allah Ta'ala treats a saint if his mother makes a dua against him. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at piety. He doesn't say, well, he's so close to me, I'm not going to answer your dua. He goes, imagine, what did she mean by fitna? One scholar meant that he would have zina, commit zina. But his mother was compassionate. His mother goes, Ya Allah, no, just let him see the face of prostitutes. And then what happened? This woman fell in love with him, and she wanted, you know, to have her way. He went, no chance, never. And then she got so angry, she slept with a shepherd, got pregnant. She goes, oh, Juraij, this is Juraij's child. And then people thought, don't be stupid, Juraij's child. What do you want about Juraij's child? She caused a whole, you know, hue and a cry. News reached the king. The king goes, okay, we'll make investigations. He sent a few guards, he'll go and find out what's happening. The guards go, they go, Juraij, look, the king wants to see you. He goes, no problem. He walks out with the guards. And as he's walking towards the palace, he sees women. And he looks at them and he smiles. So the guards go, Astaghfirullah, he's probably end on it. Right? So they grabbed him and they dragged him. Take him to the king. The king goes, Astaghfirullah, Juraij, we thought you was a, you know, a saintly man. What are you doing looking at women? And then he goes, what have you called me for? Right? He goes, this woman says she gave, you know, you made her pregnant, she's given. And he goes, has she given birth? He goes, yeah. He goes, bring her. They brought the child, and the child, Juraij said to the child, am I your father? And the child stopped suckling. He went, no. And pointed to the shepherd. He goes, he's my father. So the king, oh, Juraij, forgive us. We didn't know, you know, this that will bring, will build your hope with gold. He goes, just leave it. But then the king goes, why did you look at those women? And Juraij goes, oh, my mother's dua was answered. I looked at the prostitutes. Right? So look at the dua. Question, are we saints? Think about it. Some people think, oh, I'm right, I'm five times namaz. Even if my dad makes dua, I've got tawbeef protection. No, your kata's coming off, mate. Right? You know, your patroon's going to come off. If Juraij is taken to task, who are you? Right? So note here, the mother's dua. Now, somebody goes, well, the father's dua is not powerful. Mother's dua brought the dead to life. Mother's dua, Juraij got involved. What about father? His dua is not powerful. In Ibn Majah, Targheeb number 1387, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the dua of the father reaches the hijab. Subhanallah. The dua of the father reaches the hijab. What's the hijab? In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah the Almighty has got 70 hijabs. If one of those hijabs were removed, the creation would be burnt. Now think about that. Hijab is to protect the beauty of a woman. Right? If somebody goes, what does a woman wear a hijab for? Right? You say, well, she's got to cover her aula. Correct. Does Allah Ta'ala need the hijab? He needs 70. So a person goes, so number one is to, obviously, he's if you can't look at it, you would die. His beauty is so incredible. But he is so immense, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if one veil was removed, look what the hadith says, everything would get burnt. The Prophet didn't say destroyed. Look how interesting that is. 70 veils, 69 are still there. One veil is removed. There are still 69 veils. Creation has gone. Disintegrate. How great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in Ibn Majah? The dua of the father reaches the hijab. The dua of the father reaches the hijab, meaning it goes right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? It means there's no blocking it. In a famous report in Tirmidhi, Hasan Targheeb number 1386, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three du'as are guaranteed. The oppressed, the traveler, and the father's du'a for his children. Three du'as are guaranteed. The oppressed, the traveler, and the father's du'a for his children. Father again. So look, let's look at this. Guaranteed. If you go to ask your question, if your father's passed away, can he make dua for you? Yes, he can. Go to his grave. Then the person goes, can he hear me? No, you just go there and, you know, do tawaf around his grave. Astaghfirullah. Obviously, you're talking to him if he's got iman. The Prophet said that the least connection the dead has is the one who visits. He recognizes them. That's the least. So even if he was just scraped through, basically, he scraped it, he still recognizes people who come to his grave. So what about his son? Dua of the father's answered. Think about the guaranteed. Why? He reaches the hijab. The traveler, and of course the oppressed. The traveler, why? Because he's away from everybody. He hasn't got his connections. He's very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should not come as a surprise to learn. Why? Because there is no harm in even kissing the feet of our dear mothers. Think about that. You're allowed to kiss their feet. Where does it mention it? The one who kissed the feet of his mother, it is as if he has kissed the doorstep of paradise. Subhanallah. The one who kissed the feet of his mother, it is as if he has kissed the very doorstep of paradise. This is in Durr-i Mukhtar, volume 9, page 606, Bahari Shari'at, page 88. Why should we not find that strange? Because paradise lies under their feet. But this hadith says, if you kiss it, you've kissed the doorstep. Imagine you go to a person. Which person can I say, I don't want to do it? Brother, would you like to kiss the doorstep of paradise? Don't ask that question, brother. He goes, kiss it? He goes, I'll do more than kiss it. You know, I'll take the barak of it, you know, rub it and get... Okay, brother, I've got it, mashallah. Won't kiss your mother's feet. Then he goes, won't kiss your mother's feet? What's that? What are you on about you? Bidat, right? And then you go, hey, shaitan. Shaitan's put that into his head. Bidat. Well, you can go bidat till you go blue in your face. You kiss your mother's feet. The hadith says you've kissed the doorstep of paradise. Now, if you've kissed the doorstep of paradise, don't you think you're going to enter it? And how do we know? Because there's a hadith. In Tabarani, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states sahih in sahih ut-targhib. Our beloved messenger said about both parents, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stay near them, for underneath their feet lies paradise. This is important hadith. Because the famous hadith mentions the mother. Because under your mother's feet is paradise, correct? You know, we accept that. Sahih hadith in Nasai. This hadith says, your parents. So note, you don't use the hadith to relegate your father. So if your father's alive, you still got paradise. If your mother's alive, you still got paradise. If they're both alive, you should be doing moonwalk. Right? And think about it, if paradise is under their feet, you know, what do people say? Oh, it's not worth even the dust under my feet. They always use their feet for the most insignificant thing. So Allah Ta'ala has used the most insignificant thing and He's given it paradise. Why? Because He's thinking, if you think about the hadith, there's nothing less to your mother and father. What? This is paradise. Yes. Now imagine if you saw somebody kissing his mother's feet. How strange would that be? You'll probably get some people, oh, he's prostrating to his mom, astaghfirullah. Brother, I don't know how you kiss your mother's feet without prostrating. You know, we're going to do a handstand. You know, how are you going to prostrate? I'm not prostrating to my mother. I want to get the kiss the doorstep of paradise. This is where paradise lies. Similarly, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhu, the kiss on one's mother's brow serves as a hijab from the fire. Subhanallah. The kiss on one's mother's brow serves as a hijab from the fire. This is in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi, in his Kitab al-Silla, page 85 of the English translation. So some people say, oh, I can't kiss the feet, I've got too much pride, astaghfirullah. Right? Okay, brother, kiss it on the eyes, between the eyes. Even that is a hijab from the fire. Think about that. And wow, look, Hindus touch the feet of their parents. I'm thinking to myself, cow worshippers are doing it. Right? Guess what? When you see the Hindu doing that, say, watch this Rajput. Right? And then you go and kiss your mother's feet. What do you think of that one? You always got something better. Allah Ta'ala will never allow you them to have something. But when they touch their feet, you ask them, why have you touched your mother's feet? And they'll come out with a bayan. Oh, in this Sanskrit, paradise, we believe that. What if they turn around and say, well, why don't you ever touch your mother's feet? You say paradise lies under their feet. Next minute, he goes, well, you know, it's metaphorical, isn't it? Right? Then you go, oh yeah, okay. Kiss the feet. Never see a Hindu kiss the mother's feet, yeah? Right? Father's feet. And there you go. But on the head, it's a protection from the fire. Imagine, if you kiss your mother between the eyes, that will protect you from the fire, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. This is also very important. It is of the utmost importance to remember that the rights of parents continue after they die. Some people, they think that Roma sleeves up, and once they pass away, alas, very dangerous. Why? And Tabarani in his Osad number 5819 or 4-232, our beloved messenger warned Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who does not fulfill their oath, does not pay off their debts, gets them sworn at by swearing at the parents of the other. Then look what the Prophet ﷺ says. Then he will be written as disobedient, even if he was good to them in their life. Astaghfirullah. He will be written as disobedient, even if he was good to them. When? In his life. So imagine, you are an awliya when they're alive. And your mother and father go, oh, ya Allah. I'm happy with him. You be happy with him. They pass away. And then you've got that mindset gone. They've gone now. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Basically, you do something to upset them. You don't fulfill their oath. So they may have said, son, if you got the ability, do umrah for me. And you go, yeah, yeah, I'll do it. Once they know, oh, they passed away, nah, I'll give sadaqah. You haven't fulfilled their oath. Secondly, pay off their debts. Maybe they go, look, I got a debt, make sure. And you go, no, no, why should I pay it? I'm the youngest son. Eldest son should pay it off. You know, shaitan gets you that way. Or number three, you swear at somebody else's parents. So they swear at yours. That's common. So you get angry with somebody and you go, you... And what do people think about these swear words? Notice parents suddenly flicking in there. Shaitan's doing that. And then what happens? When you swear using at their parents, what do they do automatically? They'll swear at your parents. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you've cursed your own parents by doing that. Then look what he said. You will be written as disobedient, even if you was good to them in their life. Meaning, their ties never break. You always go, say, you know, you ask their forgiveness. You say, forgive me. If I've done something, I haven't done something. I'm trying my best to fulfill your rights. You keep going to their grave. You might have forgot. But by going to the grave, at least they'll understand. Because, oh, he's forgot. They might come to you in your dream and remind you again. Because don't forget to do this. Right? And if you think it's a small matter, imagine your lifetime of goodness is gone. You're going to meet Allah the Almighty like this, as somebody who's disobeyed his parents. Imagine. You probably go blue in the face. Ya Allah, but I served them. You served them only when they were alive. When they've died, you neglected them. Right? So note, we say the rights of the parents even continue till you drop dead. So imagine, you might get a 100-year-old man now. His parents have still got rights over him. He goes, my God, he's 100 years old. His parents have been dead 70 years. It doesn't matter. They've still got rights. What is their status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And yet, they don't teach anything of this in school. You know, this is not part of their curriculum. In fact, they encourage you to... You know, once you get to a certain age, see you later. I can do whatever I want. And that's pure kufr. What did Shaykh Hamza mention? He goes, the secret teaching of education in the West is unbelief. They won't say it. They won't say to you, look, we are teaching you to become unbelievers. They'll preach Islam, but they'll treat it like a hobby. It's a religion, you know, we'll discuss it. Christianity, no problem. Evolution, notice how they teach that. That's their belief. Right? But this is another thing they'll do. In fact, if you look at even those so-called innocent cartoons, they call, children are encouraged to call their parents by their names. Because have a connection with your dad. He's your best friend. He's my best friend, right? He goes, call him, you should have a connection. Call him by his name, right? Astaghfirullah. You can't walk in front of him, Abu Huraira said. You can't sit before him. One report goes, you can't sleep before him. What happened to all those rights? You can't call him by his name. And now the Prophet's warning you after they die. Right? So that's why it's so important that you always keep them in your mind. And Allah Ta'ala looks after. That's why he blessed that man. Why am I mentioning all these reports? Yesterday's report, people, you know, don't be spinning around thinking, how did he get that? Because he looked after his parents. After Allah the Almighty and His Messenger, who's got the greatest rights over you? Imagine somebody goes, you can't compare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you've got the Olympic ceremony where you get gold medal, silver medal, and bronze medal. Gold medal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Metaphoric. Silver medal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to be on the podium, isn't that enough honor? Who's got the bronze? Your mother and father. Are they on the podium? What do you think, brother? Just for them, and even people, you know, when they win the bronze, they get happy. The one who comes fourth, he's probably crying, oh, they get no, they even get wooden spoon. Guy comes back with bronze, he goes, look, it was a great honour to be on the, you know, yes, I came third, but I was there, and they're happy, flags up there, even though they came third, hands on heart. And look how symbolic that is. Why? Because parents, Allah is teaching. And with regards to parents, this is another thing, we'll finish with this. Hassan al-Basri, he said, now this is disaster. Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, if you see anything undesirable in your child, then repent to your Lord and return to him, for this is something aimed at you. Astaghfirullah. If you see anything undesirable in your child, then repent to your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and return to him, because this is something aimed at you. Recorded by Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi in his Adab al-Hasan al-Basri wa Zuhudu wa Mawa'idu, the Deacon of Basra, page 59 of the English translation. So think about it. You see a son or daughter, and you just think, what's happened? Why have they gone off the tracks? Hasan al-Basri says, it's you. Allah Ta'ala, there's something in you. You have to do tawbah for something. It's coming out in your son or your daughter. So think about that. You've got to sit back and think, what am I doing? Right? Allah Ta'ala is targeting you, Hasan al-Basri said. It's not your son or daughter's fault, it's you, you're causing it. And what do? We start blaming them, you know it. Oh, you always give me, since you were born, you give me bloody headache, right? And then you go, where is that mentioned? Quran or Hadith? Right? When he's born, he's innocent. And that's the name of Bakwas straight away. So straight away, what do you notice? You have to do istighfar. Ya Allah, forgive me, it's me, I'm causing harm to my children. Now, why should we not find that strange? Because if you do good, Allah Ta'ala blesses your children. If you do evil, what happens? Something in them will strike you. And what's shocking, I'll mention this, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, observe good behavior towards your fathers, then your sons will observe good behavior towards you. That's a hadith. Observe good behavior towards your fathers, then your sons will observe good behavior towards you. This is in Tabarani in his Awsat, Hakim in his Mustadrak, 4-154, Sahih, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, 8-141, Darheeb, 2-215, Hassan. Look how interesting. You can go on as many courses as you want, brother. You can hear as many hadiths as you want. If you have disrespect towards your father, you're going to see it in your son. And people say that. You know, you hear people saying it. You know, elders who go through the life experience, they go, it's a disaster. Because I can see my own children, what they're doing to me, I did to my father. And they say with tears, because I remember doing that to my dad, and it's come back to hit me. And what's strange, the child doesn't know. Because he's not seen his dad do that to his father. All he's seen is somebody, you know, like a giant over him all his life. But look how interesting. That's a hadith of the Prophet. But if you show your kindness to your parents, you'll see it in your children. Allah Ta'ala will give it. Think about that. Now, to finish, what if a person goes, well, my dad's passed away, and I didn't serve him as I ought to have served, or my mother's passed away. I didn't serve her as I ought to have served. Then the response is, now that you remember them. This man came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, make dua for them, visit their graves. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will enroll you as obedient. Meaning, never forget them. And what's strange is people forget. You just forget them, you know. He died. When did he die? He goes, he died 2 years ago. Anybody remembering him? And then people look at each other. He goes, well, he's passed away. He's passed away. Your kids are going to be doing, when you go, they're going to think, yeah, he's gone. Good riddance. That's not for that. They even do it. You see it. Good riddance. Freedom. You got freedom now. And you start thinking, astaghfirullah, did he do that with his dad? Oh my God. Right? And look how amazing. Allah even afflicts you on the earth. Look at the lives of parents. He doesn't even wait for the grave. What goes around comes around. Forget about your parents. The Prophet said, whoever respects the elders, if you get old, Allah will appoint a youngster to respect you. That's just an elder. So imagine you see somebody come into a masjid, you know, one of the elders, Bengali community, you know, Somalian community. And you just open the door for him. Uncle, please, yes. Yeah, no problem. You get in from stuff. Allah Ta'ala, look at the greatness of that deed. If you get old, he will appoint somebody to do the same for you. And you'll see it. So imagine you're just about to walk in, somebody opens the door for you, and you remember, oh yeah, 50 years ago I opened the door for uncle. And he goes, you'll notice exactly the same is playing out again. And that's why you, and where's the proof of this? You know, think about this. Some of the elders, nobody wants to know. You know, it's, where is it? No, but nobody's interested. Why? Because he just ignored the elders, he ignored his parents. Others, everybody knows. Everybody's at their chizmat. You notice that. Right? Now, why is that taking place? They're both 80 years old. The reason is, he looked after his parents. He respected the elders when he was young. So everybody is now showering affection towards him. The other one didn't. Look how disastrous that is, isn't it? You see him dying in old people's homes. Thinking, why did he die in old people's homes? Astaghfirullah. Allah Ta'ala is never unjust. He always, you know, you get what you deserve in it. Astaghfirullah. So all I mentioned today was, again, talking about our dear parents, showing their rights and status, whether they're alive or whether they've passed away. And I mentioned that in actual fact, Asif used four great names. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram, and there's no contradiction. And then I mentioned some of the lessons we took from that blessed zikr, and of course some of the relevant reports. But some of the things you can do immediately is go and kiss, if you've got the opportunity, your mother or father. Your mother's mentioned because, you know, she's got greater rights. On the forehead or on their feet. And one of the brothers said to me, he made me laugh, because I didn't kiss my mother on her feet, I wait till she goes to sleep. So, well, as long as you do it, I suppose, you know, so again, you know, if you, because some people, they can't bring themselves to do it. So then just pretend that you're putting, you know, bed cover on, next minute, quick peck, and then that's it. Ya Allah, I did it. I don't know if it's accepted, but I did do it. There was a man in Kanzur Omal, and he had diamonds in his beard. Diamonds. And one of his students saw him in his dream with diamonds, and the boy is alive. He goes, Sheikh, last night I had a strange dream about you. He goes, what? He goes, you had diamonds in your beard. And he goes, what does that mean? And then he says, oh, he goes, I was massaging my mother's feet and my beard touched her feet. So maybe Allah Ta'ala is, you know, giving me diamonds in my beard because of that. Imagine that, innit? Right? SubhanAllah. So note, Allah Ta'ala always gives. And that's why they are your gates. When the Sahaba asked, what are the rights of your mother and father? Because they're either your paradise or they're your hell. People don't understand that. You give that hadith at the beginning, nobody gets it. They go, alright brother, JazakAllah. But when you actually go through the subject with some understanding, you're thinking, that's the answer brother. You shouldn't have given the answer. First explain what the answer is. Then the guy appreciates it. He goes, it's either your paradise or it's your hell. And Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us opportunity, even after they've passed away, to secure our place in paradise. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, salamun ala al-mursalin, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, insanu lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa wasbil haqq, wa wasbil sabr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.